Well, this is undoubtedly the strangest Holy Week that any of us is going to celebrate, probably in our lifetimes. It's quite odd for me to be preaching in an empty church. It's odd for me to look into a camera to look at your faces. I just assume that I should be looking at these palms, these empty pews instead. So I guess I'll just pretend that you're here and preach to you as if you're present here before me. But they are strange times. They are strange times. This has been, as my sister sent me in an email a week ago, the lentiest Lent that we've ever lented. It's been quite a different kind of penance. It's been a different kind of fasting in these weeks, hasn't it? Because we've all been walking a communal journey together that certainly nobody really anticipated and certainly nobody would have chosen by themselves if we had the choice. But we are all currently watching this from the isolation of each of our own homes or computers or phones or wherever we're watching in. And we all, the few of us, are here in an empty church trying our best to walk into the holiest week of the church's year. And so how striking then, how differently then this gospel rings true to us as we hear the story of Jesus' own, we'll say, last Lenten journey. The last walk that he walked in a time of fasting and a time of penance and a time of course, extraordinary suffering in his life and ultimately to his own death. And it puts into, I think, sharp relief God's design for this holy season of Lent and this time in our lives, where we all have to really enter into our suffering, I think, in a different way, right? We're kind of forced here. It's been really well attested throughout the centuries that it really doesn't matter who you are, whether you're old or you're young, man or woman, whether you're rich or poor, famous or forgotten, every human life cannot escape suffering and death. Sooner or later, we all go through times of uncertainty. We all experience sometimes very intense anxiety. Sometimes we're forced into situations in life that we would not have chosen on our own, but have just, for whatever reason, the choices of other people or just the circumstances of the world, those situations are chosen for us, and we get to walk them, whether we want to or whether we don't. And it always makes the heart question, doesn't it? It always makes our hearts think, wherefore? Why? What does all of this mean? And we can be struck with the overwhelming sense of that uncertainty before us, right? The deep sense of anxiety that can be very unsettling, especially when perhaps the things of life seem to be so much beyond our control and we just feel like we're being rocked back and forth by the waves of the storm that are more powerful than we are. You see, we come into this Palm Sunday and we listen to the story of the same thing that happened in Jesus' life. And I think the Lord really invites us to take away some very important lessons. First and foremost, to understand that all the things that God foreseen, that he foresaw that we were going to have to go through in our lives, God decided that he was not going to absent himself from those experiences. If Christianity tells us one thing loud and clear, it's this: God knows how you feel. Because he decided to feel the same things. He decided to live the same experiences. Oh, my people, they have to go through that suffering. So will I. My people, I see that they're going to have to experience uncertainty and anxiety and lack of peace. I'm going to experience that too. My people, my creation, they're going to have to go through not only suffering but death. Me too. God makes very clear that he wants to understand how we feel. He wants to live what we have to live. And what he proves by that is to show us that he is provident over every single moment of every single person's life in all of created history. There is not one thing that is not right now in the palm of God's hand, no matter what it is. Whether it's the smallest suffering because we got a paper cut, or whether it's the largest kind of human suffering where we all sit and wait and pray that this pandemic passes us over. And there are many who have suffered and are suffering at this very time from what's going on in the world. Lots of people who are sick themselves or who have suffered through the experience not only of a family or a loved one dying, but very well, perhaps the inability even to be with them at the moment of their death. So many people have had to die alone. What terrible suffering. And death is a really funny thing. You know, in my own life, actually, this last week, I've been through a little bit of that journey. On Tuesday, I had the great grace to be with my own pastor, my own childhood priest, who was passing away in the hospital up in Lansing. And I knew, you know, eventually in life I would probably, well, not probably, I mean eventually in life I knew that my pastor was going to die. I did not know that it was going to be this week, but on Tuesday that was his hour. And I was very, very fortunate to be able to actually go to the hospital to be with him in those last hours of his life. It's a strange thing. During a pandemic, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get in. Thankfully, by God's grace, they let me in. And I made my way to the third floor, to the intensive care unit, and walked down the hallway around a couple corners, past the sort of nurse's desk into his room, where he was there on the hospital bed, all hooked up to lots of medications and a breathing tube, and his brother was there, his sister was there, I was there with another priest, and there were two nurses. There was seven of us all together, six of us and my pastor. And it was a really surreal moment. I was praying in that moment as I stood with him, and I asked the Lord, Lord, I would just pray that you would help me to sear this into my memory, into my heart. Make me never forget. And he wasn't conscious at the time, but I just began to speak to him and pray with him and with all those present about my gratitude. As long as I can remember, he was the only pastor I ever had. And I served, I don't know how many masses for him growing up as a child. And he heard my first confession. He gave me my first communion. And he was over at my house as a child so many times having dinner with us. And I knew him really well. He was the one who kept knocking at my door and said, you know, I think God's calling you to be a priest. And at the time, of course, I didn't want to hear anything of it, but I have so many experiences with him that I'll always remember. And I began to just speak to him about these things and just tell him how grateful I was for all that he had given to me, all that he had given to my family and to those that he served. And I just told him that we were praying for him right now and that we were with him. And I was there as the nurses went to him to unplug him and to take the breathing tube out of his mouth. And we said our last goodbyes. I told him I loved him. And then we left the hospital. And I went home. And I got home and I went to my bedroom and began to pray a rosary at 3 p.m. And at that moment, at 3 p.m., the beginning of the hour of mercy, he passed away. And it was Yes, of course, it's a really sad thing. Death hurts. But it was so peaceful and beautiful. You know why? Because I knew that God was present. Because I knew that God's goodness was never going to fail me. It was never going to fail my pastor. It was never going to fail any of us because he had already foreseen it and planned for it. His grace was already ready to bring life forth, even from suffering, even from death. And I believe with all my heart, that's exactly what happened. And that's what death does, doesn't it? Death really focuses us. Suffering really focuses us. It tells us very clearly, it sifts away what's important in life and what's not important in life. And in this time, every single one of us is suffering. Nobody has not been affected in some way by this pandemic, by what's going on. But how is it that we see our suffering? How is it that we see our uncertainty? How is it that we see even human mortality? What is our vision? I would pray that our vision would be the vision that God sees. And in fact, seeing as God has known that we're all going to be in this pandemic, we're all going to be in this time of uncertainty and suffering and anxiety and lack of peace, God already knows what life he's going to bring forth from this. He's already giving you, he's already giving me a very specific and personal invitation to enter into this with him, to walk this beside him, because he's not absent from you. He's not. He's not absent from me. He's not. He wasn't absent from my pastor in the moment that he passed from this world. God is provident over every moment. And so 2020, isn't this a year of very clear vision? The year where we don't translate this experience in such a way that would put us to confusion like it puts the world to confusion, but that we would see this year with God's vision in our life, God's vision for what is around us and within us, to see that God experiences this moment with you and for me, for good and for bad, from the moment of your birth to the moment that you return to him and you die, all things in between, Jesus knows. And that's what gives today's gospel, that's what gives this Holy Week celebration such purpose and meaning for us this year in particular, because God says, I will bring forth life from this. I know what I am about. And even all evil that could come to pass in the world cannot overcome me. Because I am the conqueror. I have conquered the world. I've conquered death. Will you allow me to bring that grace into your life? And so in this Lent, we are called to, I think this year, perhaps more than others, a more intense, a deeper kind of conversion. Am I right? You and I are being asked to strip away from our lives what distracts us, what's not important. We're being asked by the Lord in this time of waiting, in this time of upheaval, to depend upon the only thing that is always sure and dependable, which is his sheer mercy. Because that mercy is what brings us through. That mercy is what allows you and I to take stock of our lives and to say, no, this is something I can let go of now. This is something I don't need control of anymore. This is a sin I don't need in my life. God calls you and God calls me to a deeper kind of holiness. And ain't this a real special Holy Week in order to enter into that? And so may your heart be encouraged. May your heart receive peace this day. May my heart be encouraged and receive peace this day. knowing that God is provident and God has a vision for you and a vision for me. So let's pray. Jesus, we are here before you wherever we are, knowing, Lord, that you are present to us in this very moment that we pray, that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us whenever we call out to you. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would come upon us in this moment and peer into the depths of our own hearts and our own souls to see all of our anxieties and all of our own sufferings. And Lord Jesus, we would just submit them to you even right now. We ask you to take them. And we ask in return to provide to us out of your store of goodness the abundance of peace that only you can provide. Jesus, may this holy week truly be one for the books, truly be one of great change and lasting conversion. And may we see not with a vision of the confusion of the world, but Father, may we see with your vision. May we accept the grace that you so desperately desire to give to each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.